The good news is that Black America is steadily running out of firsts. I offer up the first Black president as Exhibit A. It seems the challenge now is becoming more about how not to forget the people who blazed the trails. In this case, I'm talking about Diane Carroll. This year marks the 40th anniversary of Julia, the show that made Ms. Carroll the first Black woman ever to star in her own television series. This is the theme music from that hit show, which ran from 1968 until 1971. For our ongoing series, Living Legends, NPR's Farai Chidea spoke with Diane Carroll. Farai wanted to know what Julia means to her today, now that she's seen and done so much more.
I'm very proud of it. I look back with great pride. We had major, major problems when we went on the air that I think were expressed by both communities, Black and white. And we survived. I think it was a 4 years we did on the air. And I look at it from time to time, and the quality is there. It's charming. And I thought the casting was excellent. So as a product, I think it's a good product. I'm happy to be there.
So for people who don't know a lot about it, you were playing a nurse, a mother. You even had your own doll well before most of the sort of customized Barbie-style dolls. You became a little figure. And it was one of those moments when there were so few Black characters starring on television. Did you take this role and think about how many people would be looking up to you as a role model because you took that role?
No, I've never done that. I took it because of the work. I took it because I liked the work. I think that's the way an artist should select a part. I wish that was the way producers selected the artist, because the artist is correct for the part. But I did feel that it was something I wanted to be a part of. The fact that it turned into something that became, as you say, a role model was not something I concerned myself with. If it happens, it's, you know, one of the perks.
Tell me a little bit about who you were as a person at that time.
I was a young mother. I had worked very much on Broadway and in nightclubs. I had traveled a great deal. The thought of being in one place for a period of time was very appealing. I wanted to do something that I felt was important, and this provided me with all of that. I was able to make a home, so that my daughter and I could live together, and I could work and have some semblance of organization, of a normalcy, which doesn't happen in show business very often.
Normal is a description that's different for different people, but you have had some of the most amazing experiences in the world, from playing Norma Desmond to being on Dynasty as Dominique Devereaux, and having a few marriages.
Four.
Yes, four. That's quite a bit of experience.
Yeah.
And so when I think about you, I think of glamour. You personify a certain type of glamour. How do you think of yourself?
Now? Today, you mean?
Yes, today and in the past, if you like, but I was thinking just in general.
I think of myself as a wife, a mother, an actress, a singer, a child. All of those roles are part of my life. It's a very rewarding, complicated life.
Before I turn to some of your work with the issue of breast cancer and caregiving, I want to ask about another role. There's a movie, Claudine, and it really brought together an amazing cast, you and James Earl Jones, and it was a film that kind of cut against a lot of the popular wave was some of the blaxploitation cinema. You were nominated for an Oscar. What was that film like to work on, and what does it mean to you today?
It was a great joy to work on that film. I had never worked with James Earl before, and he really outdid himself, I think, in that film. It was a project that I was very happy to be a part of for many reasons. It coagulated with my friend, whose name is Diana Sands. She helped to make this thing become a reality. And then she passed away just before they could finish their first week on the film. And so my obligation to her, because we had known each other since we were in elementary school, was uppermost in my mind most of the days of my working on the film.
Oh, I'm living like a queen on welfare, you know.
You're jumpy.
Well, my kids are fine. You don't need to be worried about my kids.
Oh, no, I'm not worried about your kids. Not my problem.
It all the time from the welfare, always asking me to apologize for my kids. You know what? I don't have to explain that to nobody. Now you just pushed the wrong button.
Okay, I was just asking.
The other thing about this was that I was so happy to break away from the glamorous beaded gowns, and this allowed me the opportunity to be someone really from the ghetto. It was important to me because that too was a part of my life. I was raised partially in the ghetto. And I knew it. I knew it well. And I wanted the opportunity to do that and to make that happen on screen. And I did. It was a wonderfully fulfilling time as an artist, really.
You yourself are a breast cancer survivor, and now you are a champion for the people who you call stars, who are the caregivers. Take me back to the moment, not necessarily when you were diagnosed with breast cancer, but when you knew you really needed someone to help you and that you had to make a sobering realization that you wouldn't be able to deal with this on your own.
I think my friend, my star, my caregiver, realized before I realized that I would need that kind of support, that kind of loving, I'm here for you support. I had not faced any major illness in my life. And so when she arrived and planned to spend the entire day, I thought it was a very wonderful thing to do. But after I received the information and I learned that I indeed, my cancer was malignant, she really brought tears to my eyes because she knew that I didn't really know what I was getting into. So she was there so that whenever it occurred to me that this was life-threatening, that she would be there to hold my hand. So when I learned that the wellness community was involved, and I've been involved with the wellness community now for over a year, and they've decided to publish this book, it's called The Balancing Act, and the goal of this book is to provide information and hope to cancer caregivers. And usually the caregiver puts the life that she's leading or he's leading on the side while they decide to take care, be a friend, hold your hand, maybe even change your diaper. During the illness that you're going through, that's quite a commitment on the part of any human being towards another. To decide to honor them and to say what we need to say every day, which is thank you. I really don't know if thank you is enough, but you're a magnificent part of my healing, and I want you to know how much I honor what you offer to me. That's what this whole program is about. It's about our learning how to be grateful to those who give up something to make us more comfortable or more knowledgeable about what we need to know. This book is available. It's available through the wellness community, or it's thewellnesscommunity.org. So I am endorsing the fact that we need to express our gratitude towards our friends.
Diane Carroll, I want to say that many people thank you and many people love you for what you're doing. I appreciate talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
That was Farai Tadea speaking with living legend actress Diane Carroll. 2008 marks the 40th anniversary of the show Julia, the first show in which a black woman played the lead and title role. That's our show for today. Thanks for being with us. News and Notes was created by NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Tomorrow, the reason for the season. We'll talk with a volunteer who has given the last 10 Christmases to help those in need. I'm Tony Cox from all of us at News and Notes. Have a happy holiday.